Hare Krishna. So we do the Ramadrasa. So we are reading today, continue the reading of the sixth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled, of second canto, the chapter entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The personality of Godhead is pure, being free from all contaminations of material tinges. He is the absolute, and he is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all pervading, without beginning or end, and without arrival. O Narada, O great sage, the great thinkers can know him when completely freed from all material hankerings, and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by untenable arguments, all is distorted, and the Lord disappears from our sight. Please repeat after me. The personality of Godhead is pure, being free from all contaminations of material tinges. He is the absolute truth, and he is the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all pervading, without beginning or end, and without rival. O Narada, O great sage, the great thinkers can know him when completely freed from all material hankerings and when sheltered under undisturbed conditions of the senses. Otherwise, by untenable arguments, all is distorted, and the Lord disappears from our sight. Purport. It's quite a long purport, so please bear with me. Here is an estimation of the Lord apart from his transcendental activities in the temporary material creations. Mayavad philosophy tries to designate the Lord as contaminated by the material body when he accepts forms of incarnation. This sort of interpolation is completely denied herein by the explanation that the Lord's position is pure and unalloyed in all circumstances. According to Mayavad philosophy, the spirit soul, when covered by nescience, is designated as jiva. But when freed from material, free from such ignorance or nescience, he merges in the impersonal existence of the absolute truth. But here it is said that the Lord is eternally the symbol of full and perfect knowledge. This is his speciality, perpetual freedom from all material contaminations. This distinguishes the Lord from the individual common living entities who have the aptitude for being subordinated by nations and thus becoming materially designated. In the Vedas, it is said that the Lord is Vijnanam Anandam, full of bliss and knowledge. The conditioned souls are never to be compared to him because such individual souls have the tendency to become contaminated. Although after liberation, the living entity can become one with the same quality of existence as the Lord, his very tendency to becoming contaminated, which the Lord never has, makes the individual living entity different from the Lord. In the Vedas, it is said, Sudham apapa viddham. The individual atma becomes polluted by sin, but the Lord is never contaminated by sin. The Lord is compared to the powerful sun. The sun is never contaminated by anything infectious because it is so powerful. On the contrary, infected things are sterilized by the rays of the sun. Similarly, the Lord is never contaminated by sins. On the contrary, the sinful living entities become sterilized by contact with the Lord. This means that the Lord is also all-pervading like the sun, and as such, The word pratyak is used in this verse. Nothing is excluded from the existence of the Lord's potential expansions. The Lord is within everything, and he is all-covering also, without being disturbed by the activities of the individual souls. He is therefore infinite, and the living entities are in infinitesimal. In the Vedas, it is said that only the Lord alone exists, and all others' existences depend on him. He is a generating reservoir for all, for everyone's existence, existential capacity. He is the supreme truth of all other categorical truths. He is the source of everyone's opulence, and therefore no one can equal him in opulence. Being full of all opulences, namely wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, certainly he is a supreme person. And because he is a person, he has many personal qualities, although he is transcendental to the material modes. We have already discussed the statement, Itham Bhuta Guno Harir, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. His transcendental qualities are so attractive that even the liberated souls, Atmaramas, are also attracted by them. Although possessed of all personal qualities, he is nevertheless omnipotent. Therefore, personally, he has nothing to do, for everything is being carried out by his omnipotent energies. This is confirmed by the Vedic mantras, Parashakti Vividaiva Shuryate Svabhavikvi Jnana Balakriyacha. This suggests that his specific spiritual form, which can never be experienced by the material senses, can be seen only when the senses are purified by devotional service. Yam evaisha vinute tena labhya. As such, there are basic differences between the Lord and the living entities in so many respects. No one can be compared to the Lord. As the Vedas declare, Ekam eva dvityam brahma dvaitad vai bhayam bhavati. The Lord has no competitor, and he has nothing to fear from any other being, nor can anyone be equal to him. Although he is the root of all other beings, there are basic differences between him and other beings. Otherwise, there would have been no necessity for the statement in the previous verse that no one can know him 100%, as he is na nayam vidanti tatvena. Sorry, no one can know him 100% as he is. That no one can fully understand him is explained also in this verse, but the qualification for understanding to some degree is mentioned here. Only the prasantas, or the unalloyed devotees of the Lord, can know him to a greater extent. The reason is that the devotees have no demands in their lives, but to be obedient servants of the Lord, they have no demands in their life but to be obedient servants of the Lord. While all others, namely the empiric philosophers, the mystics, and the fruitive workers, all basically have some demand, and as such, they cannot be pacified. The fruitive worker wants a reward for his work. The mystic wants some perfection of life. And the empiric philosopher wants to merge in the existence of the Lord. Somehow or the other, as long as there is a demand for sense satisfaction, there is no chance for pacification. On the contrary, by unnecessary, dry speculative arguments, the whole matter becomes distorted. Thus the Lord moves still further away from our understanding. The dry speculators, however, because of their following the principles of austerity and penance, can have knowledge of the impersonal features of the Lord to some extent. But there is no chance of their understanding his ultimate form as Govinda, because only the Atmaramas, or the completely sinless persons, can accept pure devotional service to the Lord. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.28, Yeshan Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Tedvanda Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Didavata. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vithakans Mitam Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Kaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai So my humble obeisances to all the devotees here especially to Yadubara Prabhu I have seen him after a long time And His Holiness Swayam Bhagwan Keshav Maharaj and all the other senior devotees. Please bless me so that I can say something useful on this very, very important verse. So, Purusha Shukta, confirmed, that's the title of this chapter. And What is Purusha Shukta? Can anybody tell us what is Purusha Shukta? Yes, Prabhu? The prayers by the demigod. And do you know where they appear? Govinda Prabhu is miming it. In the Rig Veda. Yeah, so these are a set of prayers in the Rig Veda. They're also mentioned in several other Vedic literatures. But these are wonderful prayers. Which are now, it says here, confirmed. Purusha Shukta confirmed. So a couple of days ago, Bhagavata Prabhu, he mentioned, I didn't know, he actually mentioned why this word confirmed. When I was studying this in the Bhakti Vaibhava, I also thought about it, but I never thought to ask the question, because I thought it would be a silly question, but why confirmed? So Bhagavata Prabhu answered that. Anybody remember what he said? Why confirmed? Govinda Prabhu?
In the Rig Veda, it's not really clear who this person is offering to. Whereas in the Bhagavatam, it's very clear.
That's it, absolutely, exactly. The Rig Veda, actually, if it is said that, it's very difficult to explain the Purusha Shukta. Because the language, even the Sanskrit used in those prayers, is very archaic. And apparently, some of the words can be, of course, generally also. The Sanskrit words can be translated in many different ways. So for that reason, it becomes very difficult to translate that in any meaningful way, sort of either literally or even symbolically. So this is why here in the Bhagavatam, it is now confirmed that the Purusha Shukta is offered not to some impersonal being, but to Mahavishnu. So that's what it is. So this particular mini section we have from text 39 to 46, in this mini section, Lord Brahma describes the original creator, Mahavishnu. Some nice descriptions here. So as usual, I like to just go through the purport. We haven't got that much time, and it's a very long purport. But I picked bits and pieces that sort of appeal to me that we can dive deeper into. And hopefully what I try and do is take Prabhupada's sentences from the purport and then try and connect to some other parts of the Shastras just to, in my mind, reaffirm what Prabhupada is basically saying. So Prabhupada starts the purport saying that Mayavad philosophy tries to designate the Lord as the contaminated by a material body when he accepts forms of incarnation. This sort of interpolation means trying to fit something into somewhere where it doesn't belong. Interpolation is completely denied herein by the explanation that the Lord's position is pure and unalloyed in all circumstances. So I thought of a couple of verses in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter 24 and 25. So 24 says, Avyaktam yaktim apanam mayante mam abuddhaya param bhavam ajananto mamavayam anuttamam. The translation Prabhupada gives, unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and now have assumed the personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. And 7:25, Krishna continues, Naham prakasha sarvesya yoga maya samavrita mudo yam nabi janati yogo mam ajam avyayam. He says, I'm never manifest to the foolish and the unintelligent. For them, I'm covered by my internal potency, Krishna says. And therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. And then a very famous verse in the ninth chapter where Krishna speaks about fools deride me. Anybody know that verse? Go with the Prabhu, we'll definitely know. Anybody else? Ninth verse, ninth chapter. Text 11. Very good, yes, Prabhu. Avajanti mam buddha manushim tanum ashrita param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lashma Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So, in that verse, Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as a supreme lord of all that be. And in the purport of 9-11, quite a long purport as well, Prabhupada says that some of those who deride Krishna and who are infected by the Mayavadi philosophy quote the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.21 to prove that Krishna is just an ordinary man. Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vasthita sada. The Supreme is present in every living entity. So Prabhupada then continues. He says, we should better take note of this particular verse from the Vaishnava acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instead of following the interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna. So that translation in 3.9.21, it says, I am present in every living entity as a supersoul. If someone neglects or disregards that supersoul everywhere and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, this is simply imitation. So the Mayavadis, what they do is they're impersonal, so they deride temple worship. So they pick this word and look at the last line, and they say anybody who's doing worship in the deity is simply imitation. They forget all the rest of the verse and they want to just focus on that. And they think that God is everywhere. And Prabhupada often says in his lectures, doesn't he? He says, yes, okay, fine. We also agree that God is everywhere. But if he's everywhere, why not in the temple? Right? But they will not accept the Lord here in the temple. This is their defect. So Vaishnava, our understanding is that by his different manifestations of energy, and by his all different plenary expansions, the Lord is present everywhere in all parts of the material and spiritual creation. And he also, by special favor, becomes present in his deities so that we can, with our unqualified eyes, take his darshan daily. Prabhupada then continues, according to Mayavad philosophy, the spiritual soul, when covered by nescience, is it nescience or nescience? I'm not sure. How do you say? Nations? Yeah, nations. Nations is designated as jiva, but when freed from such ignorance or or nations, he merges in the impersonal existence of the absolute truth. So again, this is the Mayavad philosophy. But the Vaishnavas, we take verse 15:7, where Krishna clearly explains that the living entity is eternally separate. Mamaivamsu jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasashta nindriyani prakritistani karshati. The living entities in the conditioned world are my eternal fragmental part. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So the living entity, in the purport, Prabhupada says, the living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of Lord, of the Supreme Lord. Eternally. Sanatana, the word used in this verse was sanatana, which means eternally. So it's not that we will one day become God, as the impersonalists would prefer to believe. And Prabhupada also in this today's purport, he says, although after liberation the living entity can become one with the same quality of existence as the Lord. This is the important thing. Becoming one. When we say, yes, you know, there are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita that will talk about Nirvana. But the oneness that the Vaishnavas believe in is not becoming one with the Lord, not that we become Lord. The Vaishnavas, you know, the Mayavadi sometimes will say, you know, you are God, I am God, everybody's God. We just covered, as it says in this purport, Prabhupada says, we are all covered. Once the cover is gone, we are all God. But no, Vaishnavas believe that although after liberation, we can become one in nature with the God. So our nature becomes the same as the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.5, antakale chamameva smaram upakalevaram ya prayati samad bhavam yati nasyat sanshaya mad bhavam. So we can become, we can have my nature. So it means we can have a spiritual nature, not that we will become God. So this is the Vaishnava understanding. Prabhupada continues in the purport. In the Vedas, it is said, suddham apapa viddham. The individual atma becomes polluted by sin, but the Lord is never contaminated by sins. So this particular line comes from Ishapanishad, text 8. And Prabhupada translates shuddham. So what is shuddham? Anybody? Pure, right? It's a pure or uncontaminated word. Prabhupada actually in that particular text of Ishapanishad, interestingly, he translates shuddham as antiseptic, which I thought was interesting, right? And apapa viddham, Prabhupada uses a word, I've never heard this before, prophylactic. Prabhupada uses words, many times you have to have a dictionary to look it up. Prophylactic, anybody guess what the meaning of prophylactic is? Purifying, yes, but in one sense, I looked up in the Cambridge Dictionary. It says preventing disease or something that is intended to prevent disease. So you see, it's deeper than purifying. It's the Lord Himself who makes things pure. So it is His ability to make things pure, not just purifying. It's interesting. So. Prabhupada then continues, the Lord is compared to the powerful sun. The sun is never contaminated by anything infectious because it is so powerful. On the contrary, the infected things are sterilized by the rays of the sun. Similarly, the Lord is never contaminated by sins. On the contrary, the sinful living entities become sterilized by contact with the Lord. Just by us coming in contact with the Lord or His teachings, we become purified. We know from all our own experiences. I mean, sometimes I've explained in these classes my own past, and I can tell myself how different things are. Of course, I've got a long way to go still, but the bad habits, the way of life, all that got purified by association of devotees and by reading Prabhupada books and learning a few things. So this is the nature of the Lord and His devotional service. Prabhupada says material contamination cannot touch the Supreme Personality. We've said that already, yeah. So the Lord is pure. So as the Lord is pure, so is his bhakti. Devotion service is also pure, and that's explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.2. Raja vidya raja guhyam pavitram idam uttamam patyakshava vagavam dharmam susukam kartum avyayam. So this knowledge is the king of knowledge. It is the most secret of all secrets, and it is the purest knowledge. And because it gives the direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. So we will have the experience of devotional service by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada continues in the purport. Because he is a person, he has many personal qualities, although he is transcendental to the material modes. We have already discussed the statements Ittama Bhuta Guna Hari in Bhagavatam 1.7.10. So this is a very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. And this is the last line of that particular verse. This is the famous Atmaram verse, which is also discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it was a famous pastime in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhava Bhattacharya Samvad, where this particular verse is, the meaning of this verse is given in 12 different ways by Sarvabhava Bhattacharya. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the same verse, and leaving aside these 12 explanations that Sarvabhava Bhattacharya gave, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 64 different explanations of this verse. So this verse goes, Atma Ramascha Muneyo Nirgrantha Pi Urukra Kame Kurvant Yahaitukam Bhaktim Ittam Buddha Guno Hari. So this is Sutta Goswami saying, all different varieties of Atma Ramas, those who take pleasure in the Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, they desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So, if the jiva was the same as the Lord, then why would the Atmaramas, the self-realized souls, the souls, liberated souls, why would they be attracted to devotional service? Obviously, it is it cannot be the same. The jivas can never become the same. Then, Prabhupada continues, personally, he has nothing to do, for everything is being carried out by his omnipotent energies. This is confirmed by Vedic mantras, and he uses the last two lines of this verse from Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. So he uses the last two lines, but we'll look at the whole verse. Natasya karyam karanam na vidyate natat samascha bitakascha drishyate parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do. He has and no one is found to be equal or greater than him. Samascha bitakascha bitakascha. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. Prabhupada continues, his specific spiritual form can never be experienced by material senses. He can only be seen, he can be seen only when the senses are purified by devotional service. And he quotes this line, Yam evaishya rinute tena labhya. This is from Katha Upanishad 1.2.2.3. Where the Lord says he can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service. So only when we finally become pure, completely uncontaminated, we can then perceive the Lord. Our senses, our material senses, are not able to perceive the Lord. Actually, it is said in the previous verse also, it is said that the Lord can never be perceived completely. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot perceive the Lord completely. Because the Lord is ever expanding, ever increasing, his qualities, his fame, his everything is ever increasing. It is said even for the Lord himself is difficult to keep up with understanding himself. So what to say for all of us? But to some extent, we can try and understand him. And this is explained how? By purifying our vision. A famous verse from Brahma Samhita, anybody? How we anoint our eyes with Premanjana Charita, Premanjana Charita, Purpa, Premanjana Charita, Bhakti Vilocha Yena, Santa Sadeva Sadeva Hirdayesh, Santa Sadeva Hirdayesh Viloka Yanti, Yamsham Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, who is Shyamasundara, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in the heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So it's not possible to know him, but only the word used in this particular purport and verse is prashanta, prashanta bhakta. Prashanta bhakta means peaceful. How can we become peaceful? We can only become peaceful when our material hankerings are gone and our agitations are gone. And we become situated in the self. Then we are prashanta. And then we have some chance of having some kind of understanding. Even the material nature we can't conceive to the full extent. We can only perceive the material nature itself to the extent our senses will allow them, to allow it to be. That's why the spiritual world, or even one of the names of the Lord, is Adokshaja. Adokshaja meaning beyond our sense perception. So, Prabhupada says, anything transcendental to material nature is called inconceivable. Whereas arguments are all mundane, since mundane arguments cannot touch transcendental subject matters, one should not try to understand transcendental subject matters through mundane arguments. So arguments here, arguments are mundane. Asat tarke in this verse. Asat means asat can be false or something which is temporary, but in this verse is translated as untenable. And untenable means something which is not defendable from objection or attack. So untenable. So anything, but there's no point arguing. No, we can, of course, we are allowed to ask questions, we are allowed to clarify our doubts, but in a humble, submissive way, not in an argumentative way. And dry speculation and argument only leads to impersonalism. So a lot more to say about this verse, but it's 8:30. So I will request any more comments, realizations, corrections from anybody. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Microphone, please. Oh, he's there. Thank you. Anybody? Yes, Prasaraj, Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Prabhu, you were mentioning interpolation means trying to fit something where it doesn't belong. Can we just get the context of why that word was used in what way?
So, yeah, in this particular... let me just quickly have a look at that. Yes, interpolation. Mayavadi is trying to... Yeah, okay, I'm trying to speculate now, but let's see where Prabhupada uses interpolation. One second. Right in the beginning somewhere. Good question. If I was on the laptop, I could do F5. But interpolation. I'll come back to you on that. Maybe over breakfast, we can just go through the verse again. And then I can... Because it's there somewhere. Prabhupada mentioned that. And it has to do something with trying to put Krishna in our position, or putting ourselves in Krishna's position. That interpolation, but I will come back to you. Thank you. Yes, can you read that, please? Microphone. The trouble with the microphone, if we speak without a microphone, sometimes the system cuts us off, thinking that the class is over.
So it says, Here is an estimation of the Lord. This is like from the beginning of the purport. Here is an estimation of the Lord apart from his transcendental activities in the temporary material creations. Mayavad philosophy tries to designate the Lord as contaminated by a material body when he accepts forms of incarnation. This sort of interpolation is completely denied herein by the explanation that the Lord's position is pure and unalloyed in all circumstances.
So interpolation meaning that the material condition is contaminated and we are trying to fit Mayavadis are trying to say that the Lord is also contaminated. So that is interpolation, because something pure is going to be mixed with impure. Yeah, thank you. Yes, Prabhu, Prayajan Prabhu, microphone, please.
It's an interesting aspect to this whole creation. It's in the causal ocean, but there's the step before that, where there is no cause. It's causeless. You know, they say causeless mercy, and so we have to. When we say the causal ocean, it refers to that where we've become separate from the cause. And this is what we're looking at in the eternal nature. So the further discussion that we've had today, actually, it's like trying to unravel a string and get to the beginning of it. You know, where's the beginning? And so actually, just to do that is such an expression of joy. It brings such joy to discuss these topics. So, in a way, we want to get to that point where it's causeless other than the pleasure of the Lord. Nothing else. You know, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me, which is one of my favourite verses. And then it says, and the next verse it says, for one who sees the super soul, and I are one. That actually, just to even discuss the Lord as the Mayavadis do, they're trying to put him in a box of their own limited mentality.
Exactly.
And so in that way, we have to go to the causeless nature. And but that's the most wonderful thing about devotional service. We're eternal students of the Lord.
I like that. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
You can go on, and you can get great joy just discussing it, as we have had today, from my point of view. It's been joy to hear. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very nice. I like the analogy about putting the Lord in a box, trying to limit him. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Any other thoughts? Yes, Mataji.
Just following on from what he said yesterday, we were hearing, I think Priyochan covered it already, but becoming one with the Lord, we were hearing yesterday that means not having any separate desire from the Lord, and not having a separate will. So that's how devotees see becoming
exactly
one with the Lord.
Absolutely, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Exactly, absolutely. Being one in nature with him, or one in desire with him, exactly. Not having separate desires, that's the point. The reason why the material world is there, and the reason why we all here, is because we had separate desires from the Lord. That's the whole reason. Thank you so much. Any other thoughts? Okay, thank you all so much. Krantarashima Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.